Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, November the 12th, 2012. It is the day the United States observes Veterans Day. To all who have worn the uniform and served this country, our heartfelt thanks for keeping this country free. We are live weekdays noon to 1 on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream our show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear the programs anytime, anywhere, because we post them to several locations, including buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com, and there are links to our show on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun at gvnews.com, and the homepage for Blog for Arizona now has us at blogforarizona.com. We get things rolling with the Monday political face-off today. We feature commentators John Munger and Paul Eckerstrom, 30 minutes past the hour, a Veterans Day conversation with General John Wickham, the former Chief of Staff of the United States Army. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can join us at any time at 790-2040, or you can submit your question using our Facebook page. Our Monday political face-off featuring today commentators John Munger, Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, and Paul Eckerstrom is with us, the vice chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday political face-off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging surfaces and hanging systems. Moe will even make a house call. He'll come out, do all the measuring, and he will make sure that everything is hung properly. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Paul and John, good to see both of you.
Good to see you, Bill. Paul?
And we thank John being a veteran, for your service.
Well, thank you. You may call me Sergeant Munger today.
I bet you were one heck of a tough sergeant there.
I was. Just doing our job. Yeah. I'd like to do a special shout out to all the veterans out there that have served, and especially the ones that are coming back home from Iraq and Afghanistan with injuries are debilitating, and hopefully they will get the support they need from our country so that they can serve in other ways.
And we will talk more about that with General Wickham, who is very intimately familiar with what's going on with the Veterans Administration. That will come up at the bottom of the hour. John and Paul, Ken Bennett, the Secretary of State, saying he will look into the problems in counting the ballots this year, while at the same time saying the system appears to be working the way it should. John, let's begin with you. I can't ever remember an election, can you, when we had so many votes outstanding?
I would say Ken Bennett ought to look into this. I mean, we have something like 500,000 ballots just in the two counties, Maricopa and Pima, that haven't been counted a week after the election. How can that be? I mean, this is not acceptable. And this, the election was not a surprise. How this can be that we, if we had a close election, and we do, incidentally, we've got a couple of House seats here and there are two congressional seats here.
McSally and
that we still don't know
Barber.
Who's elected because they're in Pima County. There are 90,000 uncounted votes. Bill, they haven't even finished counting the absentee votes yet.
Yeah, it is.
And it's unacceptable.
And it is, of course, very important to find out who wins that Barber-McSally race, Paul Eckerstrom, because this Friday, if it's McSally, she needs to be in Washington because all the new members of Congress are going to have an orientation there. And the reason I know that is because Ann Kirkpatrick is going to step away from that orientation Friday and be on our a guest on the Buckmaster Show Live Line on Friday. But it really, this is unbelievable, Paul.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And for example, if Ron ends up winning that race, it means that the the delegation for congressmen are going to be 5-4 in favor of Democrats, which is significant, but we don't know. And there was two major problems as far as I understand. Here in Pima County, there was a lot of people who had registered to vote or changed their registration because they moved and were not put on the voter rosters, and therefore when they came in had to vote provisionally. And that was very frustrating for a lot of people. So we have extra ordinary amount of provisional ballots beyond the early ballots that were dropped off on election day that hadn't been mailed in. And the other thing is up in Phoenix, and this was very troubling as well, both are very troubling, the election officials up there did not send out ballots to people who requested mail-in ballots in the tune of over 100,000. I don't know the exact number at this point. But that's very troubling because how many people who didn't receive their ballot, a lot of them went in to vote and they were told, well, you have to vote provisionally because you got sent a ballot. And they said, well, we never received it. And that's troubling to me because how many people didn't receive their ballot in the mail and then didn't bother to vote because they didn't receive the ballot in the mail? That's troubling to me as well. So these are major issues that need to be ironed out in the next go-round.
Yeah, you know, we have larger states that have larger populations where the vote has been counted. I frankly think that our election officials, be they Republican or Democrat, ought to resign. I will tell you that if I had employees that were this incompetent, they would be fired. And
if anything like this went on at your law firm,
they would be fired, period. And these are people that have been in these offices for nearly 20 years. This election was no surprise. Now, they were not, Paul is right, there were some provisional ballots. But I will tell you, as of Thursday, they hadn't even counted the absentee ballots yet. This is not just provisional ballots. This is absentees. In addition to not mailing out ballots to people who requested absentee ballots, thus resulting in provisional ballots being voted on Election Day, the county recorder gave wrong precinct addresses to a number of people. They voted in the precinct they were told to vote in, and their vote now is not going to be counted. The county recorder doesn't want to count the vote because she told them to vote in the wrong precinct.
So you're saying F.N. Rodriguez should resign?
She should resign.
Ken Bennett should resign as
well? Well, whoever's responsible should resign. I know that the rubber hits the road at the county level, mm-hmm. and that's where the rubber hits the road. And whoever's responsible for this should resign.
In Maricopa County, where there's a huge amount outstanding in the mail, not sending out mail-in ballots to people who request them, in my understanding, was the Maricopa County issue. And that's Helen Purcell. And, you know, she's a Republican. And
yeah,
Rodriguez
is
a Democrat. But I know Ann got reelected. I think Helen did, too, this year. So they got another 4 years. But it is something that needs to be fixed. That's for sure. And we should be looking at why we're having these problems.
Well, is that Brad? It's Brad Nelson who's
– Brad Nelson's the election
so
director.
So is it
here
his responsibility or
yes,
F.
but
Ann
he
Rodriguez.
Works for Ann Rodriguez.
Okay.
No, he works for the Board of Supervisors. It's a little different. Helen Purcell runs the elections up there in Maricopa County. But here, the Board of Supervisors hires and fires the
well,
Brad
I stand
Nelson.
Corrected on
okay,
that.
Okay, so then maybe you would like to see Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Nelson then okay. needs to resign.
Okay. And we had a caller who did not want to go on the air and was wondering about the sheriff's race. And the last I heard, the sheriff had a, I don't know, comfortable lead? Is that what you're
Yeah, I think he's got a fairly Mr. comfortable Nappy. Lead. I don't think it can be overcome with the ballots outstanding, but you never know. I mean, there are so many outstanding, it could switch. I don't think it will because of the lead. And generally, those ballots should track similarly to what has already been counted.
Well, here's the problem.
Counted.
A large number of the ballots that haven't been counted are ballots that were voted on Election Day, and those ballots – The Democrats turn out more ballots in absentees. Republicans tend to vote in greater numbers on Election Day. So if you haven't counted the Election Day ballots, you haven't counted a predominant number of Republican ballots. So frankly, none of the races are over. You could easily have Democratic leads based upon the pre-Election Day vote, the early vote, because Democrats vote in greater numbers prior to Election Day. But on Election Day, you've got to count the Republican surplus of ballots, and that hasn't been done yet.
So you're saying all the races are, in question.
I would think Jonathan Payton's is still open, too. I don't know the numbers, but we should not be going through this.
My understanding in Ann Kirkpatrick and Kyrsten Sinema's race in Central Phoenix, the early ballots that are being counted is what's given them a stretched out lead. So the trend is they'll win, but we don't know about Pima County how that's
and we don't know about the ballots. Yes, the Democrats would win the early voting, and that you'd expect. So when people say, well, they're ahead in the early voting, well, sure, if you only count the early ballots, the Democrats are ahead. But if you want to count all the ballots, including Election Day ballots, the Republicans vote in greater numbers on Election Day. So the problem with this, it's going to appear that the race was stolen by somebody. Mm-hmm. And this raises nothing but questions when, in fact, we've got in Pima County, think of it, Bill, mm-hmm. we've got 90,000 ballots that haven't been counted. How can that be?
I don't know. It's incredible. And the provisional ballots must be checked one at a time, right? And they have to verify everything?
Early ballots that are handed in on Election Day have to be checked. The signatures have to be checked on those. And usually those are almost all valid. Provisional ballots in the past don't end up being as valid because maybe somebody wasn't registered when they came in to vote and weren't on the rolls. But this year, I think a lot of those provisional ballots, and I understand it was about 27,000 in Pima County, are probably going to be valid because people were just left off the rolls when they were registered to vote.
But my point is, A, we shouldn't have had all those provisional ballots. They should have gotten their early ballots when they asked for the early ballots. They didn't get them. That's why they had to vote provisional.
That's up in Maricopa. But in Pima, the problem was people who were registered to vote to go in on Election Day weren't on the rolls and therefore had to vote provisionally. And that was a major mistake
also,
as well.
Also, a lot of them didn't get their ballots here in Pima County.
Let's take Lauren on the Buckmaster Show live line. And he says this opens up all sorts of conspiracy theories. Go ahead, Lauren. You're with John and Paul.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm sorry, I don't mean to say the word conspiracy, but what I really want to know is, and I don't think there's an answer to this question, why do I feel so suspicious? Why am I so, uncertain, nervous? I mean, why would I be nervous about a system that's supposed to be pretty intact and pretty solid, but I don't see that.
Well, I don't think you're alone in that.
You're not alone. No, you have a right to have questions. The interesting thing is this is happening in both Democratic County and Pima County, and it's happening in a Republican county in Maricopa County. There's something basically wrong, and we need to find out what it is. Voters, this is inevitably going to cause people to have suspicions about our most sacred right, the voting right.
Yeah, I think you're right. We're going to take a break right here. This is the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show. We continue after we hear from the fine people who support this program. Please give them your support.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTrans, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. The Political Face-Off on our show is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. A lot of folks going to Moe saying, I've got some holiday needs. Well, he can take care of all of those wonderful family things that you would like to have framed for the holidays. So check out Moe's. Paul Eckerstrom is with me and John Munger. And John and Paul, Governor Brewer says it's time to rethink the Electoral College. Do you agree with her, John Munger?
No, I don't. People don't understand how the Electoral College came about. It was an offshoot, frankly, the fact that we have two houses in Congress, the House of the Population Vote, the House of Representatives, and the House representing the states. The constitutional compromise between the large states and small states was that the large states wanted a house based upon population. The small states said, look, every state is equal, so we'll have two senators from each state. The Electoral College is simply a combination of each state's House votes plus Senate votes, and automatically gives the smaller and medium-sized states a little bit extra electoral count in a presidential election by virtue of being able to count the two Senate seats. Earlier today, before we got in the show, Paul mentioned Wyoming. Alaska is another example where they have two U.S. senators, so they have three electoral votes as a small state. That was the constitutional compromise that enabled the Constitution to pass the small states. That is inherent in our system, and that should never change. People in a small state, like Arizona relatively, should never want to get rid of the electoral system because we get a slight electoral advantage by being able to count our senators along with our representatives, and we'll be outvoted by the larger states.
I believe in representative government, and frankly, the Senate already gives extra power to the smaller states. I think they shouldn't have that extra power in picking the president. We should have the president elected by the people in a representative way, and that's why I would like to see the Electoral College change to just a straight vote. However, I don't think it's probably going to happen because you have to get 3/4 of the states to pass a constitutional amendment,
yeah,
which is what it would take, and there's too many small states that would vote against
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's right. It isn't going to happen. Paul's right. You can debate the issue. I think Paul raises a very fair issue of whether you keep the Senate, but you get rid of the electoral system. But it just isn't going to happen. And frankly, for the governor to raise that issue demonstrates to me that she really doesn't understand the issue, let's put it nicely.
Yeah.
Well, she was saying that we just didn't get the attention that we should have.
Well, we didn't get the attention because our state is a leaning red state, and the candidates only had so much money to spend. They didn't spend their money in anything basically but the 11 battleground states, and that has nothing to do with the electoral system.
You know, Arizona might have gotten a little bit more attention if we were a straight representative vote. But let me tell you where the candidates would be going. They'd be going to Los Angeles. They'd be going to all
sure.
the big, big population centers, Phoenix being one of them. But I would think that the smaller states would definitely get left out of equation.
She's just wrong about that.
It's interesting that the immigration issue now is resurfacing, and I had said during the presidential campaign, Paul and John, it was absent. We just didn't hear about immigration during the presidential race. Now we've got leaders on – Chuck Schumer was talking about it on the Democratic mm-hmm. side, and Lindsey Graham – on the Republican side
right.
over the weekend. Now, why suddenly
well,
is it
emerging? I think it's all about electoral – politics. I mean, frankly, we were very close to comprehensive reform. John McCain, Ted Kennedy had put forward something.
And George Bush
supported it. And it just didn't get through because there was this big push from a lot of folks on the, I guess, far right, I guess I would say, that did not want that to happen. They were very much about just closing the border and nothing else. And there was no compromise there. What's happened is because the Latino vote was so critical in this presidential race, 72%, 71% went for President Obama, and the demographics where the Latino vote is growing, they're the youngest group of voters in terms of young people going to be turning 18 pretty soon, and so it's going to grow, mm-hmm. that I think the Republicans now are starting to back off of the kind of intransigent position they took, and even their more moderate folks on this issue, like Jeff Flake and others, had to move to the right. Now they get to move back to the middle, and I think we're going to see some sort of compromise because they know electorally the only way they survive is if they start to reach out to the Hispanic community again.
Yeah, I think what happened, it was interesting. The issue did not come up heavily in the presidential election, but what happened was there was an undercurrent amongst the Hispanic voters that this was an important issue. And frankly, the Republicans didn't pick up on it. And there were a lot of people in the Hispanic community that voted that issue,
mm-hmm.
even though it didn't come up in the presidential campaign. And that has come out after the election, that is an undercurrent out there. It didn't just affect the Hispanic voters. It affected some of the younger mm-hmm. People. And that's one of the reasons that, for better or for worse, the Republican Party is viewed as a meaner party.
Lost opportunity, really.
Lost opportunity.
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen is you're going to have Lindsey Graham has come up with, I think, a fine proposal, and that is starts with securing the borders. And frankly, if you came up with a proposal that said, as he says, secure the borders – require the 12 million people who want to be here to learn English, be conversant in it, read it, write it, pay a fine.
Paul, final comment?
Yeah.
No path to citizenship.
The big problem is I think you need to put a path to citizenship, but behind end of the line. But the other big problem is how do you define border security, securing that border? Because you're never going to be able to tighten it totally down where people can't come across. They'll just be able to go out in the desert and still come across. The question is, how secure? You got to define that.
Paul, I think that's a good issue.
Paul and John, thank you very much. Both of you, have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. There is plenty of gasoline available and the long lines have disappeared, so New Jersey's governor is ending the gas rationing that resulted from the shortages caused by Superstorm Sandy. As of tomorrow morning, people in New Jersey can buy gas on any day, no matter what license plate number they may have. French prosecutors opening an investigation into the sister of a radical Islamist who killed seven people, including three Jewish children, in March before being killed in a standoff with police. David Petraeus tells friends that he was shocked to learn that the woman with whom he was having an affair is suspected of sending threatening emails to another woman that she saw as a romantic rival. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 23 points, and this is SRN News.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true community for adults 55 and better. Now you can enjoy the sensational sounds of Splendido with a special musical performance by Gestures of Joy, an inspiring resident-led group that combines music, sign language, and some big-time theatrics. That will be 11 a.m. Tuesday, December the 4th. RSVP by calling 762-4084 or visit SplendidoTucson.com. Our monthly conversation on military and foreign affairs with General John Wickham, made possible by Splendido. General Wickham, how are you today?
Doing fine, Bill. Thank you very much.
Well, it's great to have you with us on this Veterans Day, and we want to make sure, and we do observe and honor all who have worn the uniform, our heartfelt thanks for keeping this country free.
Well, deeply appreciated, Bill. And one little anecdote I think is relevant. After Grenada, when he went in to free the medical students under President Reagan, I went around afterwards to pin Purple Hearts on the soldiers. And one soldier at Walter Reed pinned the Purple Heart on him, and the photographer was about to take a picture. And he put his hand up, and the soldier did, and said, "No, wait a minute." Pulled a little American flag out of his bathrobe and put it above the Purple Heart and pointed to it and said, "Now you can take your picture, because this flag is what I am proudest of." And this illustrates, it has for me and many people, the quality of young men and women that are committing themselves today to serve in uniform. America has been blessed with this in the past and in every generation. Yes, the World War II generation was the great generation. Brokaw and others wrote about the greatest generation, but I believe that every generation is great, and they all come across and do what has to be done to keep this land of plenty free.
We are speaking with General John Wickham, who was the U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987, and he was Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1972 to 82. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He's now retired in Oro Valley. General Wickham, it's very interesting that very few, a very small percentage of our population now has actually ever served or put that uniform on.
That's exactly right, Bill. You put your finger on it. I think this is one of the reasons for the growing gap between those who serve and those who are being benefited by their service. Less than one half of 1% of our population ever serves in uniform. We have the lowest number in our state legislatures and in the National Congress that have ever served, and they don't really understand the sacrifices that are made. And when young men and women come back from Iraq and Afghanistan and want to talk about what they did, there's an indifference in the public, where we really don't understand what you're doing and why you did this. And so this turns a lot of the young people off, and I think is one of the factors, like Vietnam, that has contributed to much of the unease and the problems that we're facing with our veterans now.
And one of those problems, of course, is the increased suicide level rate in the military. And I think that this may be part of the problem, that this sense of when they come back from overseas, a sense of isolation and of folks in the general community not understanding where they're coming from.
Exactly right, Bill. The suicide rate on active duty and among the veterans is the worst in our nation's history. We're losing one or more every single day. And in part, it reflects exactly what you touched on, but it also reflects, Bill, a malaise or perhaps a lack of education in our society. We have grown sort of indifferent towards mental health in our society. Some of our insurance programs do not cover care for mental health adequately, and that spills over into the military, and there is grown up in the military, unfortunately, a lack of understanding and ability to deal with mental health problems, to identify mental health issues, and to work with them. We all recall the tragedy of General Patton slapping that soldier in the hospital in Italy in World War II, and Patton telling him, get out of bed and get back into combat, you malingerer. Well, the soldier suffered from shell shock and mental health problems, and I think we've grown more educated about that, but not enough.
And there's this backlog for those that need their claims resolved, and I see that there is a story in the Army Times, I know a publication that you follow, that the Secretary of the Veterans Administration is now envisioning some really radical improvements in clearing up this sometimes two-year or more backlog.
Well, you're exactly right, Bill, and this in a way contributes, I think, to some of the suicide and anxiety felt among veterans. When you have to wait 2 years or more to get a claim looked at by people and some decision made, it means you're not going to get any benefits. You're not going to be able to access the facilities adequately. And I think that is a serious problem. And even though the VA has said we're doing everything we can to hire more people, and under this administration, fortuitously, it's been one of the best in terms of support of the Veterans Administration in our nation's history, we still have a long way to go. One of the things that might be done, although it's got some difficulties with it, could be to grant temporary approval, maybe for 6 months or 9 months, for many, many claims, and cut the backlog, say, down to 6 months, and get these veterans into the VA medical facilities and get them on some kind of benefits while we get working to finalize their claims. But I don't know, Rick Shinseki, the head of the VA, good friend, very capable man, and when he promises to do something, something's going to happen. One of the promises is to get all of the homeless veterans. We have 70,000 of them in the United States that live under bridges and in alleyways, to get them off of the streets by the year 2015. And we're doing better at that. Even in Tucson, we're getting some of these homeless veterans into homes and trying to deal with the serious problems that come with it.
General Wickham, we have a caller to the Buckmaster Show. Robert would like to make a comment. Go ahead, Robert. You're with General Wickham.
Hey, General Wickham, the suicide issue is pretty empirical. There's no doubt about that. But my feeling is that these guys are coming back with trumped-up symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder so they can get these extended benefits and get medical marijuana cards. And isn't it a bad cycle that these people are engaging in that's making veterans as a whole look bad and causing them not to be able to get hired because they'll develop these symptoms later on?
Thank you, Robert. Go ahead, General.
Robert, I think you raise a very important point there. You're exactly right. The number of veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan that are claiming disability are almost 50%, the highest number we've ever had in our nation's history. Now, one of the reasons for that has been the seriousness of the nature of the warfare there and the continual deployments again and again and again, the separations from families, and that's contributed to it. There may be also some overprescribed drugs that are given to soldiers and sailors and Marines for their illnesses that have contributed to some of the difficulties they have. So I think you've touched on that to a degree. Yes, there is probably a pressure in this country. Look at the ballots we've just all negotiated in the United States here just the past few weeks in the national elections about legalizing marijuana. There is a movement in this country towards legalizing marijuana for curious reasons. One is to reduce the prison populations, and another one is to perhaps encourage or to allow the use of the marijuana like alcohol. I think it's wrong, a humble opinion, my view, but I think you touch on a very important point, and that I think may be one of the reasons, Robert, why there is slowness in assessing a lot of these claims.
Thank you very much, Robert, for that question. We will continue with General Wickham. When we come back, cyber warfare and security. This is a potentially huge foreign affairs and domestic problem. We continue with our monthly visit with General John Wickham on the Buckmaster Show on this Monday. Stay with us.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Coming up now on 1250, on the day that America observes Veterans Day, November 12th. With us for his monthly visit, the Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff. General Wickham's monthly conversations are brought to you by Splendido. For more information, visit SplendidoTucson.com. General Wickham, I think one of the big issues that we are going to have to deal with at one point, we've all had problems with computers. Hackers have gotten into perhaps some of our email. Well, think about that as on a huge scale with state sponsorship of a cyber attack.
You're exactly right, Bill, and we're vulnerable. Every state is vulnerable, and you pointed out that individually we're vulnerable. There's evidence that the Iranians have disrupted the Saudi Arabian oil production facilities and their computer network, shutting down pumping and transferring of oil. There's also clear evidence that the Israelis, perhaps with the U.S. military, with the U.S. HCIA, have been interfering with the uranium enrichment process in Iran with cyber warfare, shutting down many of the centrifuges and causing some considerable delay and fires, things like that. So when states get involved in this, it could be very devastating, because cyber warfare could lead to shutting down the entire internet. It could lead to shutting down power grids in the country, shutting down international air travel, causing massive accidents, as well as delays, of course, with aircraft. So it's a serious problem. Now, we have legislation in the Congress that has been laying dormant because of this dysfunctional Congress that needs to get addressed immediately, that will allow for agencies in the U.S. government and major businesses to begin to share more information about how they can put up firewalls against cyber warfare and how we can share knowledge better. We ought to do things like have international conferences quickly to begin to share knowledge how we can stop this kind of stuff and get ahead of the power curve before it leads to disaster.
General Wickham, Bud is on the Buckmaster Show live line, and Bud wants to talk again about some of the health benefits for veterans. Go ahead, Bud. You're with General John Wickham.
I salute you, General. I just wanted to make a comment that I think one of the major problems that the brothers are receiving is when they go to the VA, there's this textbook learned psychologist or psychiatrist that has never served. And if they haven't served, you can't feel what that guy feels.
That's a good point, Bud. Go ahead, General Wickham.
That's an excellent point. And it's like so much. When you go to the Congress or to the state legislature and seek some help for veterans, if the people sitting in the legislative dock have never served, they don't understand. That's the point I made earlier. And we have the worst situation now with the least number ever serving in uniform. So you're exactly right. I think that Rick Shinseki, head of the VA, is trying to do exactly what you're pointing out, getting more people into the process that has served, that do understand. And when I go to VA down here and talk to the VA officials and shake hands with the veterans, that's one of the questions I ask them about how do you resonate with veterans. And my sense is that our local VA facility here is one of the best in the United States. They really do reach out. They really do try to understand. And incidentally, the nurses, for example, and their psychologists and their professionals are retained better than any other facility in Tucson. They keep people there because they like what they're doing and they know what they're doing.
Well, I think Bud brings up a very good point that the vets want to talk to somebody who has a shared experience.
Amen.
Yeah. Quickly moving on to the Syrian crisis, I thought this was a very interesting piece in the London Daily Telegraph that the British Army now is considering intervention in the Syrian crisis as that crisis deepens. And, of course, if Britain gets involved, there might be pressure on the United States to follow.
Yeah, that is interesting, and it's curious coming from the British. I think there's a big political factor there, but there is evidence that we need to do more to help in a humanitarian way and to help with a way of providing intelligence and some weapons to the rebels. However, we need to recognize some of the realities in that area. Number one, the Syrian military is among the strongest in the Middle East, aided and supported by the Russians. Number two, the Syrian military is almost unanimously in support of retaining Assad and his regime. So, number three, if we were to get involved with a coalition to fight on the ground, we're talking about a major war with a lot of casualties and big cost. I don't think there's a stomach for this now. I don't think that there is an easy way to solve this kind of a situation by going hot and heavy into a combat situation. I think we need to continue to help the rebels. We need to continue to undermine Assad and the people that are supporting him through other Arab nations, the Turks in particular, and the Saudi Arabians, who are gangbusters to do that and are doing a lot that never reaches the media.
Well, the situation with Syria, Israel now has fired at Syria for a second straight day as they make an effort now to protect their territory. You just wonder, is this Syrian thing going to really explode into even a bigger crisis?
It could, no doubt about it. And the Iranians are doing a lot to support Syria because they use Syria as a surrogate nation, as access to the ports that Syria has on the Mediterranean. So the Iranians are a problem. And I think in dealing with the Iranians on the nuclear issue, the Syrian issue ought to be on the table for them to cut it out. We also ought to be banging the table with the Iraqi regime. The Iraqis are allowing the flow of support to go through Iraq into Syria. And we don't need that from a country that we helped just so recently.
How is that working with Iraq? I mean, is their army proving to be up to the task, or what do you make of it?
It is proving to be up to the task. We may have left too soon, but we left because they didn't want us there. They refused to allow a status of forces agreement, which we wanted to negotiate with them. But they refused, and I think it was right that we did leave. But what is going on there, Bill, is a settling of scores that existed in the former Yugoslavia, when everybody left there. And what's happening now is a settling of sectarian scores, and it's going to take a while for all that to work its way out. You know, there are people that are still in the Islamic world are debating in a heated way, and in a killing way, who was closest to Muhammad when he died?
Hmm.
Who is really the real leader of the Islamic world? That has not been figured out. I mean, that's one of the major issues between the Shia and the Sunni.
General Wickham, we're going to have to run. Always a pleasure talking with you. It was wonderful to have that input from some vets, too, on this Veterans.
It really was, Bill. It's terrific. It's a reflection of the quality of your program and its reach.
Thank you so much, General Wickham. Have a wonderful day.
General, God bless, Bill.
General John Wickham, his conversations brought to us by Splendido at SplendidoTucson.com. This portion of Buckmaster also presented by Silver City. We love Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, to the historic community of Silver City. Coming up on Saturday, December the 8th, this is going to be fun. It's the New Mexico Tamale Fiesta in downtown Silver City. A great chance to get out and enjoy the area. And many great accommodations, including Lake Roberts Motel. More information at southwestnewmexico.org. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show. I have it right in front of me and drank copious amounts today of bottled water presented by and provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. John C. Scott comes up at 4 o'clock with more local talk. Then tomorrow morning, Chris and Joe with Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.